Today we welcome all of you who are watching Harvest Church online. Thanks for being a great online church. Man, I wish I could be together with you. I miss you so much. But I thank God for the gift of technology that allows us to be together. But one day we're going to get together in person. And man, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day. Technology just doesn't equal what real-time church is like. Being there in the presence of the Lord and with all kinds of people. I'm missing my people, and I wish that I could just get together with you. But again, thanks again today for watching online. Also, I want to thank you for giving. You've been so generous in your giving. I haven't said much about giving at all during this time with all that's going on. I've just made it a matter of prayer, praying for you that God will provide for you and also provide for Harvest Church. And I'll tell you what, God's been doing that week after week. And last week, once again, you gave so generously that you helped us to cross the line in the month of March so that we could end that month out in front. So I want to just give you a big thanks for giving so generously, and a big thanks to the Lord for providing for all of us during this time. Today, we also welcome our life groups who are watching online. And life groups, I've heard so many great reports about how you're staying connected to one another, coming up with creative ideas and how to care for one another, all of those things. So we welcome all of our life groups today as well. Today, I want to talk about rising above the storms of life. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to talk about two storms that take place. We'll do that in just a minute. But even when I came in today into the office, I couldn't find my small Bible. It's at home somewhere, and I would have had that right here, but I took a Bible off my shelf. I have several Bibles on my shelves, and this one is a Bible that I took off my shelf. And I just want to tell you, when I opened it up, it had a red... what do you call it? It's a red ribbon, and the red ribbon was right on Matthew chapter 8. Like, how does that happen? That's exactly where I'm speaking today. So exactly where I was speaking, where is this Bible that I just took off the shelf right there. So, you know, just a small little signal that God wants you to hear what we're going to share today. So let's talk about, before we talk about rising above the storms of life, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, I love you so much. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. And God, I just pray right now that you will speak through your word, you'll speak by your spirit. Help us, Lord God, to know how to navigate the storms of life. Lord, help us to be more like you and to have the faith that you have. And Lord, we just pray this right now in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Hey, someone asked me, Pastor, they said, you've got to do the This is the Bible thing. And I said, really? And they says, yep, you got to do it. So we're going to do it again. Here we go. This is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, I am. Whatever the word of God says I have, I have. Whatever the word of God says I can do, I can do. And say it with me now. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Y'all sounding like a bunch of believers out there. So God bless you. Now we're going to talk this morning about rising above the storms of life. Why talk about storms? Well, because today we're facing one of the most dangerous and devastating storms we've ever encountered in our lives. And I'm talking about the coronavirus storm. Honestly, it's a storm like we've never seen. And when you take a little look at that little coronavirus, something so tiny. Do you know it's only 1/1000th of the width of an eyelash? Tinier than a particle of dust. And yet it's just amazing to see how something so small can cause so much devastation. So that little tiny coronavirus has created one of the biggest storms that we've ever encountered in our lives. In fact, you have to go back over 100 years before anyone even knows. You know, you have to go back to the flu of 1918. So really, none of us who are alive today have ever experienced anything like we're experiencing right now. And it is a storm. Today, I want to talk about two storms in the book of Matthew. And we're going to show two places, two stories in the Bible, two very good stories about two very bad storms. So let's just look at what the Word of God has to say, and then we're going to get some takeaways this morning as well. But first, let's look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, all right? I want you to just get there in your books or in your smartphones, whatever it might be. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. The Bible says, "Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him." Man, I'll tell you what, wherever Jesus is going, I want to follow him. But then suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, and so much so that the waves swept over the boat. That's a big, big storm when the waves are sweeping over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Notice that Jesus was tired from his ministry that day. He was sleeping on a pillow. And sometimes we wonder if Jesus is sleeping in our lives, but he isn't. He's with us right there in the boat. And the disciples went and woke him. In other words, they cried out to him and they said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And Jesus replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and he rebuked the winds. And the Bible says then that all of a sudden there was a great calm. And the men were amazed and they said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Now, I want to just take a look this morning at about five takeaways that we can get regarding the storms of life. You will rise above the storms of life, first of all, when you realize that storms are a part of life. So that's the first thing to know this morning. Storms are a part of life. The Bible says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so much so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. But it says, suddenly a furious storm came up. There's a picture I'm going to show you right here about, it's a picture of the Sea of Galilee, and many of you have been on the Sea of Galilee. We've taken so many trips over to the Holy Land, we always go on the Sea of Galilee, but when you're on the Sea of Galilee, they can have a storm that can come in just an instant, can just take place just like that, and it's the suddenlies of life that kind of throw us off guard. So it says, notice it says, suddenly a furious storm came up. Sometimes life can just be going along like it was at the end of 2019. And we crossed over into 2020 and we were all going like, man, this is going to be the greatest decade we've ever had. 2020, it all goes together. Oh, this is going to be so great. Little did we know, there were storm clouds out there in the horizon already forming. We just couldn't see them and they were coming our way. And they finally found us right there at the end of January and end of February, this coronavirus storm. It came suddenly. So the Bible says, suddenly a furious storm came up. It's the suddenlies of life that catch us off guard and cause us to be filled with fear. All of a sudden, we went from one life as we knew it to a new life that we're living right now. Suddenly, it kind of happened just like that. But it's also the suddenlies of life that make us turn to the Lord. I want you to think about this. More people are watching church online right now than ever came into the church buildings all across the United States. Millions of more people are watching online than ever walked through the church doors. So we have an opportunity right now as the church to rise up and to really take this moment that God has given us in time to reach people and reach them with the hope of the gospel. So why are people tuning in? Why are they watching online? Because everything that can be shaken in our lives is being shaken in our lives. And the only solid rock that we can stand on, the only anchor that holds in times like these is Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So we're holding on to Jesus. And I want you to know that the storms of life can either cause you to become bitter or they can cause you to get better. It's all on how we respond. And the best way to respond is to have continual faith in God. The upside of storms, which I wish we didn't have to, you know, the one big takeaway from storms is that they remind us how vulnerable and helpless we are. Even things that we trusted and things that we thought were so solid can suddenly be taken away. You never appreciate something until it's been taken away. And I'll tell you what, there's so many things that we appreciate now that we took for granted in our lives. But while we're being shaken, we need someone to intervene for us and rescue us when we're in the middle of the storm. And that someone is Jesus. In fact, Jesus said this, "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace." You're not going to have peace in the stock market. You're not going to have peace in the news. You're going to have peace in Jesus. He said, "I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble," he said. "You will have trials, tribulations, and sorrows. But be of good cheer. Take heart. I have overcome the world." And so I want to tell you that when you're going through trouble, take heart, Jesus said this, I'm with you, and we're going to overcome together. You know, God has brought our family, my family, through many storms. And I'm talking about when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, my father is a preacher. We were pastoring in a little town in North Dakota, Cullom, North Dakota. Population at that time around 650 people. That's a little town. My dad ended up getting sick from ulcers. And back in the day, they didn't have the treatment for ulcers like they do today. But back then, he had bleeding ulcers. And he had to go to the hospital in a bigger town, a little ways away from us, called Jamestown, North Dakota. He was in the hospital, and they removed two-thirds of his stomach. While he was in the hospital, they had to give him a blood transfusion. And if it wasn't bad enough, he ended up getting hepatitis from the blood transfusion, a bad blood transfusion. And he was so sick. I remember him, he told me one day, and I'll never forget him telling me this. He said, one day, Perry, he said, I was looking out the window of the hospital, and I saw a hearse pull up. And he said, I thought to myself, he goes, that hearse is coming for me. It's coming for me. He says, that's how low I was. I thought the hearse that was backing up to the hospital was my hearse and that I was going to die. Well, for the next year, our family of seven, we had to move. When Dad got out of the hospital, we also had to leave the ministry for a spell. And we moved in with my grandparents for a whole year in a tiny little house. We had seven of our family in that tiny, tiny little house. But we made it. And God was faithful. He brought us through the storm. He healed my father. And I'll tell you what, he restored everything that we had lost. So I'm going to give you hope today and let you know that even though we're in the middle of the storm, we're going to come out of this storm, and God's going to restore everything that's been lost as well. I believe that. And I can prove it from Scripture as well. If you just look at a man named Job, God blessed him double for all of his trouble. So I want to just say that God's also going to bring us through this storm, and he's going to restore anything that's been lost. The second thing about storms is this. Jesus will be with you in the middle of the storm. He'll be with you right in the midst of the storm. In fact, the disciples went and woke him, and the Bible says, and they said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. They thought nobody was with them in the middle of the storm, but Jesus woke up, and he was with them in the middle of the storm. Right now, you know, they were saying, Lord, save us. We're going to go down. We're up against the ropes, and we're down for the count right now. Let me tell you what. The world might not be saying this right now, but I'll tell you what, the world is thinking it right now. There's a lot of fear out there. I wish I could share a lot of funny stories with you today, but honestly, things are more serious and more somber right now, this week and then even last weekend, because the numbers keep on escalating. And anybody that is in the middle of this storm, they're going like, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? There's a lot of people in the world that are thinking, man, I think I'm going to go down. But I'll tell you what, you've got to know this. In the middle of this storm, Jesus is with you, and he's not going to leave you. He's going to take you through the storm. So when you go through trouble, you're not alone. God will be with you. In fact, I love what the Word of God says this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Hey, I want you to know, friends, today, God is very present, especially in times of trouble. And so because we know that he's present, we don't have to fear. In fact, the Word of God says the Lord himself will be with you. Look at this verse out of Deuteronomy. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. Say it with me right now. He will be with you. He's going to be with me. He will never leave you or forsake you. So don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Say it with me right now. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be dismayed because I know that God is with me. Now, the third thing that we take away from the storms of life is this, is Jesus has the power to still every storm. There's not any storm in life that Jesus can't bring peace to and still. In fact, Jesus replied to his disciples, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and he said, peace be still. And it was completely calm. I want you to know something today. I believe that Jesus will ultimately bring calm to the coronavirus storm that we're going to right now. It's not going to be science that does it. It's going to be God that does it. He's going to bring a calm to that storm. So keep on trusting in the Lord. Now, the fourth takeaway that we have is that through each storm, Your faith will increase and your fears will decrease. When you go through the rough roads of life, do you know what? They don't beat you down, they make you stronger. When you go through the storms of life are tough to go through, but guess what? When you get to the other side, you're going to have a greater faith in God than you've ever had before. In fact, the Bible says the men were amazed and they asked, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" When they had gone through the storm with the Lord, they had way more trust in the Lord than they did before the storm. There's something about a storm that galvanizes things in our lives and really helps us to trust in the Lord. And when we get through the storm, we trust him all the more. So it's through the storms of life that we see our faith in Christ increase and our fears decrease. Hallelujah. You know, when I'm flying on a plane, I don't want to fly with a pilot who says, "Well, this is my first flight and I hope that it goes okay." You know what? I want to fly with a pilot who's gone through a few storms and is not sweating in the middle of them at all. I want a pilot that's going to be cool through the storm. The only way that you can do that is to fly through a few storms yourself. And then you go like, "All right, I see how this is going to work. God's going to be with us, and your faith is going to be all the more stronger." Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the fifth thing, this is the last takeaway on this story, is when you get through the storm, you'll find that God has a purpose for you waiting on the other side. Remember, when Jesus got in the boat, he says, "We're going to go to the other side." But waiting on the other side was another need. There was a couple of demon-possessed men, the Bible says, that came out of their tombs. They had their chains and everything. Remember the story? Jesus got out of the boat. They said, "You are the Son of God," all of that. And he cast the demons out of them into a herd of pigs, if you remember that, if you read on. But he cast out the demons, and they were set free of their chains and everything. And I want to just say here this morning, when we get to where God is taking us through this storm, when we get to the other side, he's got a purpose and a plan for us on the other side. That's why we're making it through the storm, so that we can help other people who also need to be delivered. So I want you to know that not only does God want to save you in the middle of the storm, but he wants to save others at the end of the storm. I want you to see that. He's going to save you in the middle of the storm, but when you get to the other side, he's also got a purpose and a plan for you, and that's to minister to others. Wow, what a great story, and it gives us all faith. Now, let's look at the second storm that we talked about. I said we were going to talk about two storms from the book of Matthew. First of all, in Matthew chapter 8. Then, now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 14. Just page over in your Bible or find it, Matthew chapter 14. So Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000, one of the greatest miracles that ever happened in all of Scripture. Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. Now he's sending his disciples ahead of him on the water to cross the Sea of Galilee again. And so when you're in Israel, you got the Sea of Galilee there. And honestly, that's just, you know, you're working with that water all of the time, going from one place to the other. So this was no unusual thing. This happened all the time. People were crossing the Sea of Galilee with their boats. And it should have been a relatively easy trip. So he sent his disciples on ahead of them. But immediately they got caught in a storm. So watch this. Look at verse 22, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And then we're almost finished here. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus said, "I'm going to go up to a mountain to pray, but I want you disciples to go across the sea and I'll meet you over there." And when he had sent the multitude away, verse 23, he went up on the mountain himself to pray. Now, I've always said this, if Jesus needed to pray, guess what? We all need to pray. And when evening came, he prayed all the way. He was there alone, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. His disciples were in the boat. They were in the middle of the sea, and they were tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit gave me this several days ago, that the wind was contrary. And that's this version, New King James Version. It says the winds were contrary. That word contrary means opposite, conflicting, incompatible. That's what the word contrary means. I want to just say here right now, we're in the middle of a contrary storm. The coronavirus storm has created a world that is opposite. It's contrary. It's opposite. It's conflicting. It's incompatible to everything that we have known in our lives. It is a storm that is contrary to anything that is normal. Are you seeing here this today that we're in a storm right now? This coronavirus storm is contrary. It's a contrary storm, opposite to anything that we've known. So what's going to happen? Well, the Bible says now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus came to them. The fourth watch of the night was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Let me just stop there for just a second. Be honest with me. How many of you have ever gotten up in the middle of the night during this whole thing, kind of walked outside for a second, walked out the back door of your house? It was a dark night or whatever, and you looked outside and you go like, God, what is going on in our world? What is going on in our world? And so it was the fourth watch of the night. They're in the middle of the storm, but then Jesus came to them and he was walking on the sea. Let me just say this today, that when you're in the middle of the storm and can't find your way to Jesus, Jesus will find his way to you. Sometimes we're separated from Jesus by our own doubts and our own fears, but when you can't find your way to Jesus, Jesus will find his way to you. I want to give you that today as a word from God for you that will encourage you. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they say, it's a ghost. Because honestly, they don't see any people walking on the sea. This is the first time for them. And they cried out with fear, like, what's that? It's like a man walking on the sea. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And I want to just tell you here, Jesus says the same thing today to us who are in the middle of this storm, this coronavirus storm. And he says, it's me, it is I, don't be afraid, I am with you. Hallelujah. And Peter saw Jesus, you know, the 12 disciples, Peter's in the boat as well. When Peter saw him, he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on water. Bid me to come to you and walk on the water. So he said, Peter, come. And when Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. Why he could walk on the water is because he had his eyes on Jesus. Well, when he saw the wind that was boisterous, remember Peter? All of a sudden he saw, man, I'm in the middle of the storm. The wind was boisterous and he was afraid. And when he was afraid, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Now here's what I want you to see here this morning is that when we get our eyes off of Jesus, that's when we begin to be filled with fear and we begin to sink. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to be okay. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be filled with fear. Just keep your eyes on Jesus and you're going to be able to walk on the water and Christ is going to be with you. Now we'll look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So I want to just tell you this, even when you doubt, even when you're filled with fear, Jesus will reach out his hand and he'll catch you. Thank you, Lord God. And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And I want you to just know this here this morning. As long as Jesus is in the boat with us, there's going to be a calm and peace is going to come to our storm. And then verse 33 says this, those who were in the boat came and they worshiped him. And they said, truly, you are the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, the best thing I've learned about the storms of life is this. They all come to an end. But I want to tell you, when our storm comes to an end, when this storm comes to an end, we're going to worship the Lord like we've never worshiped him before. He's in the boat with us right now. But I'll tell you what, when we get to the other side and when we get through this storm, I think we're going to have a worship service like you've never seen before. We have worshiped in the past, but I think we're going to worship in a different way because the one who brought us through the storm is worthy of our praise and our worship. Hallelujah. So I want to just say this right now. Today, we may be apart, but we're not alone because Jesus is with us. Let me just say that again. We might be apart, but we're not alone because Jesus is with us. Jesus is in the boat with us. And if Jesus is in the boat with us, guess what? We're going to get to the other side and we're going to keep on ministering. And I just want you to know that whatever storm you might be in today, Jesus will help you rise above the storms of life. God bless you. Would you just join me in prayer right now? Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, I just pray for every person that's going through a storm right now. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to calm this storm and bring peace to their lives. For people that are concerned about employment, for people that are concerned about their futures and their families, how to make ends meet, their own health, and whether they'll catch something or not catch something, Lord God, their own fears. Lord, I just pray right now that you'll bring a calm to the storm, the peace that passes all understanding that'll rule in our hearts today. So I just pray that over you today, for God's peace to rule in your heart, that Jesus will bring you a calm in your life, that he'll calm the storm in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Now, I want to ask you today, if you're watching today and you say, Pastor Perry, I need Jesus to live in my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, I want to just tell you right now, you're only one prayer away from being saved, one prayer away from salvation. I'm so glad that you're listening to my voice right now, because I can point you to somebody who can help you, and that's Jesus. And I want to just lead you in a prayer right now, a prayer of salvation. And I'm going to ask you to commit your life, commit your heart to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, if you'll do that, he will change everything in your life. It'll be a brand new day for you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we become part of the family of God. So I want to ask you right now just to believe on the Lord and to receive him. And pray this prayer with me right now. And let it be from your heart, not just your head, but let it be from your heart. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. And right now, Lord Jesus, I know that I need a Savior. I can't do life on my own. I need you, Lord Jesus. So right now, I open up my heart's door and I ask you to come inside my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me of all of my sin and give me a new life today. With my mouth, I now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Lord Jesus, I believe on you now and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior, and I pray in your name, in the name of Jesus. Just say it with me again. Lord Jesus, I believe on you, and I receive you as my Savior, and I pray in your holy name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just believing and receiving. If you pray that prayer with me right now, I want to welcome you to the family of God. You are saved. You are born again. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. Your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, that means you're registered in heaven right now. And you've got a future with promise here in this life and in the life to come, because one day we're going to all be in heaven together rejoicing with the Lord. So we welcome you to the family of God. God bless you. I want to thank you today, everyone, for tuning in and finding us online. Thanks again for being a great online church. And as we go today, I want to just leave you with a special video blessing from Scott Hansen, who's a missionary to Africa, who we've supported here at Harvest Church for a number of years. But watch this video blessing from Scott Hansen and be blessed and have a wonderful week. We love you.
Hey, Pastor Perry and friends from Elk Grove. Karen and I are so grateful for your partnership, and we want you to know that this morning, Jesus has put you in our hearts, and we're praying for you. We pray that God, our provider, would meet all of your needs. We pray that God's peace would fill your homes and your lives with his presence. We pray that God would open up creative doors of ministry so that you can represent Jesus well in your communities during this time of crisis. And we pray that just as we've seen God's faithfulness over the last 25 years as missionaries in Africa, that he would meet all the needs of your church during this difficult time. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We sure do love and appreciate you guys.